Today's November 3rd, 2023. Current Bitcoin price is $34,759.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
What's going on, Rick?
Oh, just another day. How about yourself?
Oh, you know, it's a Friday in the neighborhood.
That's right.
Can't complain too much. How was your Halloween?
It was good.
Yeah? Did you guys do anything
funny? A little
cold. Anything crazy? Oh, dude, it was super cold, right? Like, that weather has totally turned for us.
Yeah. No, it was nice. I mean, it was just cold. That's all I can say.
And Halloween was actually the 15th anniversary of the Bitcoin white paper.
Pretty awesome, Satoshi.
15 years old. And actually, Gary Gensler sent out a tweet wishing the Bitcoin white paper or wishing Bitcoin a happy birthday that day. I thought that was kind of interesting that he said that.
Yeah, as he tries to eventually stab it in the back.
Yeah, yeah. It was weird. I mean, there was a lot of, I guess, mixed emotions off his tweet, because he said something about how, you know, happy birthday, you know, if Satoshi went as Satoshi on Halloween, would any of us even recognize him? And then he said something about how we need to stop trying to trick people with all these unregistered securities and all this other stuff. So. Yeah,
well, it was kind of. I can at least agree with them to a certain point where most of them are tricks and scams, but.
Undoubtedly, no, and you're right. We've talked about that on the podcast before. I think there's over 5,000 coins, and maybe a handful are legit.
Yep.
So, yeah, I can kind of see that. There was something actually in Michael Saylor, we kind of talked before the podcast got going, but Michael Saylor was on Bloomberg just the other day talking about the Bitcoin ETF and, you know, is that going to cause competition to MicroStrategy? Because MicroStrategy, for the most part, is kind of a metaphor for Bitcoin within the current New York Stock Exchange type of environment, right? Because they have so much of it within their exchanges. But there was some interesting news that he came across, and I wanted to play this clip and just kind of get your take on this, what he's about to say here. So go ahead and take a listen. I just want to get your take after the end of it.
I think it's an important milestone in the growth and the maturation of the industry. The crypto industry has been plagued by inexperienced entrepreneurs like Sam, unreliable custodians like FTX, incompetent creditors. A dozen went bankrupt in the last year or two, unscrupulous promoters, and their failure is a necessary rite of passage for an industry that's going to lead to a new, more stable, more scalable ecosystem that'll be based on Bitcoin. Public companies like Block, MicroStrategy, Marathon, a dozen Bitcoin miners that are public, institutional money managers like Fidelity and BlackRock, and regulated banks when they eventually become custodians. The offshore crypto exchanges, the stable coins, the crypto tokens, the DeFi projects, they're going to shrink, fade into the background, and decouple from mainstream and institutional digital assets marketplace that'll be based on Bitcoin.
What's your take on what Michael's talking about there, Rick?
Well, I mean, he's basically saying what we've been saying on the podcast for a while, that the halving is coming in the not-too-distant future with a spot ETF. That's going to drive up buying from the general investor and institutions, and it's going to basically make it more scarce. And the combination of both of those is going to be, it's going to create a supply shock, which will cause the price to explode.
Yeah, and something that there was another report that he had, and it was a little bit disheartening hearing him say part of it, but he was talking about how a lot of the crypto exchanges that we currently have kind of, and majority of the tokens, which kind of goes back to what we were talking about in the beginning, need to kind of just go away, right? Like they need to just fade off, and they need to make it to where the banks can be the custodians and they do the housing of the Bitcoin for the people. And I don't know how I feel about him saying that, because part of my belief with Bitcoin is that you should do your own self-custody. You should have the personal responsibility. I get fearful whenever we have the banks just fulfilling the same role that they had previously, that they can just dilute the shares of Bitcoin or whatever Bitcoin may be at that point, and they can just do the fractional reserve lending that they do currently, but just with Bitcoin as the underlying asset. I mean, that to me was a little bit disheartening. But I mean, for the most part, I mean, Michael Saylor, he's a smart guy, super sharp. So I don't know what your take would be on something like that. I mean, do you want to see the banks coming back?
Personally, no. I mean, that's kind of the whole thing with Bitcoin. Like you said, fractional reserves lending and that kind of thing. It would just, and that's the thing with Bitcoin, is it is a harder asset. Matter of fact, it is the hardest asset, right? There's no expansionary anything to it. You know, it's going to be 21 million. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so.
Go ahead.
Yeah. With banks, you know, maybe they create the paper Bitcoin and that dilutes it to a certain point. And that's what I think's been happening with the futures, or the Bitcoin futures ETF. I've said that several times. So yeah, that I don't necessarily agree with him on that, but maybe he's trying to appease, you know, very powerful banks by saying, hey, you guys are still going to have a function in society.
Yeah. I was going to say, you got to remember, I think a major shareholder of MicroStrategy is BlackRock. So, maybe he's got to stroke a little bit of that horn from time to time.
Well, depends on what you're stroking it with.
but I mean, you know, that's got to be so hard to, you know, when you think about that, like with the ETFs of BlackRock, the amount of, I mean, their whole goal is to make revenue, right? So they can charge a premium to their customers.
Right.
And looking at things the way that they are now, I think Bitcoin's almost like the only thing that they know that they guarantee, that they're like, look at the upside, with the upside potential that we have here. Anyways, we talked about it in the last podcast. I really feel like we're getting into that bull run type market again. And speaking of, I actually convinced my wife to finally start buying Bitcoin the other day. I'm gonna teach her the self-custody aspect of it. And then I'm going to, so that way she, cause we've talked about that on the podcast before too. Like, you know, can your significant other access your Bitcoin if something horrible happens to you? So I'm going to set her up with her own hardware wallet and I'm going to teach her self-custody. I'm going to, you know, I'm not going to give her access to my wallet, but I'm going to teach her the ropes, and that way she can understand how to access it and something untimely happens to me. So, I thought it was kind of interesting. She finally got orange pilled, and of course, as soon as she bought, the price went down. So I'm like, hey, welcome to Bitcoin.
Welcome to Bitcoin. Hey man, all I can say is, if she all of a sudden contacts a divorce lawyer, we're going to go boating.
Yeah, we're going boating. Going boating. Disappear. And something that was brought up in that little segment there with Michael Saylor. So Sam Bankman-Fried was found guilty on all 7 counts of fraud. We're still waiting on sentencing. I don't think we'll see that till March, but I was actually kind of shocked that he was found guilty all the way around. I mean, the case wasn't looking good, but because of the way he had lined pockets of like the Democrats and stuff like that, I thought maybe he was going to get off.
Well, I didn't really follow the coverage a whole lot, but I just remember some of the testimony. I saw some recounting of, what was his name, Caroline?
Ellison,
that's her last name. She threw his butt under the bus, and she was saying basically he told her to commit fraud.
Yeah.
Left, right, and center. And I was just like, oof. At a certain point when I was listening to some of the testimony, I was like, man, he should have just taken a plea deal. He's going to get railroaded right about now.
Yeah, I don't know if there was anything that he could have taken. you know?
That's true. That's true. I mean, I don't think there was anything maybe he could have taken, but they went to trial. And usually when you go to trial and then you get convicted on all seven counts. Ooh.
Yeah.
He's not going to see the light of day unless, you know, FTX somehow makes a rebound and he can start funding some more politicians.
You don't think old Sleepy Joe will come in and give him a presidential pardon?
You might give him a presidential something else. Both. Bink Bankman-Fried's way too old. I mean, he may have been the youngest billionaire at the time, but, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm curious how long his sentence will end up being. It'll be interesting to see if they hit him with like 99 years. It'll be a smack in the face if they're like, well, we're only going to charge you with 7 years. Because I think on each one of those charges, the maximum penalty for each one of those for all seven is like 20 years on each one. So that would be like 140 years in prison if they give him the max.
The max on everyone, which they're not going to do. But, I mean, let's just cut that in half. 70 years is totally plausible.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, that would put him probably close to 100. I don't know exactly how old he is. He looks like a younger guy, but he looks younger than me, for sure. But, yeah, I don't think he'll...
Well, let's just say he is 30 now.
Yeah.
I mean, that is 100 years old by the time he gets out.
He wouldn't be going to, like, your double max, like, penitentiary thing. He'd be in Club Fed, right?
I don't know. Which jurisdiction is getting his?
Looks like it was New York.
New York?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know where he would go.
I don't know. Maybe he gets Epstein'd in New York, you know.
That would be interesting. All of a sudden, he's just gone. And something else. You said that, speaking of anniversary stuff, you said it was a 100-year anniversary of something, right?
Yeah. Historically speaking, they kind of consider like this time frame in 1923 when hyperinflation began in the Weimar Republic in Germany.
Okay. Yeah. Kind of crazy stuff that popped off from there.
Yeah.
Think about everything else that's going on right now. It's like that fourth turning stuff all over again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just look at it this way. The Weimar Republic, or Weimar, if you're going to say it correctly. Weimar Republic had an outstanding debt that we agreed to or was forced upon them by the Treaty of Versailles. And so to avoid paying that debt, they just printed their money and then paid them in their own currency.
Yep.
And then along I'm saying that's going to happen here, but it's, you know, it's a possibility.
Along came somebody else and he turned that country around in no time.
Yep.
Not necessarily in a good way either. So, I mean, a lot of scary stuff going on with financial systems. I mean, it's funny because we just got our earnings for Q3, you know, the company I work for. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were like, oh, it's record breaking. Like, oh, man, we beat earnings, all this stuff. And then, in the very next breath, they're like, and we are offering voluntary retirement. And if people want to separate early, like, we're taking applications for it. It's like, wow. That is so crazy.
Record breaking, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Were they talking about their revenues or their profits?
Both. They beat their earnings reports and their revenues.
Wow.
They said
but they still don't have a good outlook on the future, though.
Right. That's what I take from their wording, is that they're afraid of what's coming. What's coming down the pipe.
I think I was, I can't remember where I saw this stat, so don't quote me on it, but I saw something where it's like 80% of CEOs think that we're heading towards an economic recession.
Yeah.
Or a downturn.
Yeah. I mean, and that seems to be the consensus. And until we see something different, that seems to be kind of the way. And, you know, it was kind of interesting, you know, in further interviews with that stuff that we were listening to with Michael Saylor, he also talked about how companies desperately need, like Bitcoin, to get on their balance sheets. Because they can't all just buy Apple, like Charlie Munger, you know, and Warren Buffett, like Berkshire Hathaway, right? Like they all have to buy something to keep in their treasuries, and they don't have anything that's worth a darn.
Yeah. At least that has something where it's going to be growing like crazy.
Yeah. That has more upside potential than what they're currently seeing in, you know, within the stocks. Because even Apple's earnings are like tanking right now.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of an interesting point. He's like, these companies need this as a treasury asset. And I know we talked about that before. You know, the fair tax practices for Bitcoin are now going to be adopted. So they can actually, you know, keep that in their treasuries rather than just sitting on cash. So, or at least they're clarifying it more, easier to understand.
Well, that's interesting. If companies start purchasing Bitcoin, again, that scarcity is going to be that much more compounded.
It's going to drive that up like crazy if that's what happens. And then recent news, and this just came out, I want to say this was this morning. Bitcoin Magazine clashes with the Federal Reserve over satirical FedNow merchandise that they've been selling. So for those of you that may not know, FedNow is a CBDC created by the Federal Reserve. Right now, they're saying that it's only being used to work within banks, like interoperability within banks themselves. So right now, Bitcoin Magazine, they've done a, and I'm going to drop a picture of this here. They've done a, or how would I put it? They've done a whole thing where they're using the Fed now as, I don't know, just kind of like a satire, right? They've just been making fun of it.
Yeah. So, well, I totally could get on board with that. Matter of fact, if we had our own, I'd put that up on our merch store.
Yeah. And so basically what they've gotten to now, they made these little satirical things. And part of what they're seeing within that is they've got FEDNOW. And within the O is kind of like the CBS almost logo where it's the I, the all seeing eye within there.
Gotcha.
And then let me see if I can just paste this in here so you can kind of see it. I mean, there's nothing that is that bad about it. I mean, obviously we know it's kind of funny, right? But
yeah.
So
how many people even realize that the CBS symbol is an eye?
Oh, I doubt hardly anybody knows that anymore.
I was going to say significantly lower than 50% of the population.
Yeah. Yeah. And Bitcoin Magazine, anyways, they clapped back and they said, with that in mind, we believe it is well within our First Amendment rights to exercise speech on the issue. And to that end, we will be defending our right to sell merchandise that makes buyers aware through fair use imagery. Our position, that is the system, is a threat to our civil liberties, is what Bitcoin Magazine has to say against the potential lawsuit from the Federal Reserve.
Nice. And you didn't want to subscribe to them.
Yeah, well, and remember, I mean, the Federal Reserve, that's not a government institution, right?
Yeah, they're owned by the Rothschilds. So, I mean, pick your battles.
Private bank. Who has more power? The government or the Federal Reserve?
I'd put my money on the Federal Reserve, but that's just me.
Me too. Me too. I really thought that was kind of interesting and kind of a weird move. Like, I don't even know why the Fed would push into that at all.
Yeah, I don't even know why they would notice.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Well, that's the thing, though. It's kind of interesting. I had this thought recently, and it's like, I don't know, you and I have been kind of screaming about central bank digital currencies or CBDCs, and we're not the only ones who are going, this is terrible, nobody wants this, this is god-awful, they can track everything you do, they tax everything they do, they take it away from you for, you know, any reason. And there's like nobody who's pro CBDC.
No.
But it seems like it's inevitable that they're going to be foisted upon us eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we know there's a lot of tracking that can take place currently, even now. We know It's so hard to say. Like, you know, if you go to an ATM, I mean, if they really want to break it down, they can see, okay, well, they went to an ATM, they pulled out X amount of dollars, they can figure it out from the bank records how much you pulled, and then track your movements with your cell phones that way, that type of thing, right? But yep. Once it's CBDC, like, it's just so blatant, like, I don't even have to do the research anymore, right? Like, no, like, oh, we know exactly what you've done. So, yeah, it's, you know, Bitcoin to me is kind of your way out of that. But even, yeah, I don't know where that's all going to head. I mean, even because we've even talked about that too, like they've tried to pass legislation that says, oh, well, CBDCs will be illegal in the United States or whatever. But yeah, we'll see how that plays out. We'll see how long that lasts.
Yep. I heard, I don't know who it was. I want to say it wasn't Max Kaiser, but it was somebody else saying that he actually thought that, CBDCs is almost going to be the on-ramp for Bitcoin.
Interesting. I don't know if that would be Max. Max is like, he hates.
I'm pretty sure he hates them too, but I think there's a point to that. You know, it's like you got digital money, transfer some of that digital money into Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's possible.
For however long the Fed lets you do that.
Exactly. The before they close off all the on-ramps.
Yeah. You got to remember that whole thing is. And, you know, I think Elizabeth Warren recently was trying to talk about how bad it was to do self-custody again. She's brought it up before. It's like, man, you guys, every time, every turn, like you just do something stupid. So, yeah, one of the other things too, it's kind of interesting right now. One out of every two Bitcoin right now has not moved up from a wallet since 2021. So there's a lot of holding that's been going on. People are stacking sats.
Yep.
We're getting ready for the halving. I mean, it's coming. So last thing I wanted to kind of bring up here is Max Kaiser was actually on the Alex Jones show recently. He offered him 10,000 Bitcoin if he could answer 5 questions. And we know, well, for those of you that do know, Alex Jones is in a lot of hot water for money right now.
Billions.
Yeah, I think it's like $1.4 billion that he owes to the Newton
or
the Sandy Hook. Was it Sandy Hook?
Well, basically whatever school that was there in.
Yeah, Newton, Connecticut, or something like that.
Connecticut,
I think, something like that. Anyways, and I don't know how to take this. If you ever get a chance, watch the clip. I want to see what you think. He was not able to answer a single one of these questions, but I think anybody that has spent a modicum of time within the Bitcoin space can answer these questions. So I'm going to throw these to you, softball pitches. Okay. I was like, I told Max Kaiser, I was like, just ask us the questions. We'll come on. 5 questions, 10,000 Bitcoin. 10,000 Bitcoin is how much money?
Well, what was the price just now? 34,000. So just multiply, add 4 zeros to that. So 340
million. 347
million.
Yeah. Okay. So just pretend like 347 million is on the line. What is the total supply of Bitcoin? Question one.
Oh, I actually mentioned that earlier in this episode.
Yeah, you did.
21 million.
There you go. What is the name of BTC's hashing algorithm?
Isn't that called, well, don't they call it the hash rate? Or the hash function?
Well, I think they're just talking about the encryption number or what they call it that way.
The encryption number? Well, I just know it is the hash rate or the hash function.
And it is SHA-256.
SHA-256. Okay, I didn't know that.
Okay. And that one is given. I had to think about that one for a second. How often does the difficulty adjustment adjust? And I think you do know this because I know you were working on something for this a while back.
Yeah, it's roughly every 2 weeks.
Correct. How often do new blocks appear?
In that 2 weeks, there's like, what, 2016 blocks. So if I remember correctly, that's like 10 minutes?
Yeah, it's approximately every 10 minutes. And yeah, you were exactly right on the 2016 blocks. And then The last question he asked him, is Craig Wright Satoshi?
Yeah, he's about as much Satoshi as I am, Anastasia Romanoff.
There you go. Yeah, I mean,
and no,
Alex couldn't answer a single one. So, and like I said, I don't know if I don't
just
know
what
he couldn't get one. He didn't. He first thing he asked me said, "What's the total supply of Bitcoin?" Alex was like, "I don't know."
Well, here's the deal. I would have not technically earned 10,000. I mean, if Max was being generous to me, he could have given me just 8 because I got 4 of the 5 questions.
Yeah, right? And I think, I mean, you would have still had it done a better showing than what Alex did.
For sure. But, you know, Alex Jones is, like, paying attention to things that turn the freaking frogs gay. So...
True.
You know, his mind is in other places.
Yeah.
And, well, I think part of it, though, I know I saw something about that. And didn't he like throw away a laptop at one time that had about 10,000 Bitcoin on it?
So, and I guess that was the story or something like that. But I guess Max never gave him the Bitcoin, apparently.
Oh, okay. Max said he was going to give him Bitcoin.
Yep. Well, and I don't know if Alex just thought he had it and tossed it.
It would have been wasted.
Yeah. Well, he basically would have been gone after right away. And that's why I don't know. I don't know if Alex really honestly didn't know the answer at all, or if he was just like, I'm not going to answer these questions. Like, that's like, I'm in big trouble right now, money wise. Like, if I get this money, they're going to take it. So.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. Kind of interesting times. And then, real quick, too, we talked about this in the last episode. You know, buying a certain amount of Bitcoin, you know, if you just put in $3,000, and that was, what, 0.0885 is what that got us?
Yeah, and we're just rounding it right there, not going anymore. Away. Just, we're not going to go down to the nearest Satoshi.
So, and when we bought, or at that time, what was it? It wasn't 34,000 yet, right?
No, it was 33,899. At least at the beginning of the episode, when I went back and listened to it.
So, what are we at right now? We did this earlier, didn't we? What was this?
Well, we just gained like $70.
Yeah, so $70 right now within a week. Still not bad for doing nothing for you with your money, right? Still just sitting there. We'll have to kind of, we'll keep tabs on that and just kind of see how that continues to play out.
Yep. But we were calling it kind of a bull run last episode, or that was the title of the episode, was Bulls on Parade.
Yeah.
And I was getting a little bit over exuberant. You were trying to hide your exuberance, but I know Hans.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was psyched. I was super excited. Like, I feel it, man. I feel it coming. I mean, and we did hit almost 36,000 this week.
That's right.
That's the new all-time high for 2023 right now. I mean, that's not our all-time high, but it looks like right around $35,981. So, hey, we broke through it. We closed. We actually got to close with that amount. And I'm kind of curious to see what the weekend holds, if we can actually get back up above there. So, just things to keep in mind. We still have newsletters coming. Hopefully merchandise is coming. We have affiliate links for hardware wallets if you need some on our website. And the website is www.thebitbytepodcast.com. And yeah, sign up for the newsletter.
Absolutely. And we will not be selling any FedNow merchandise.
Maybe
I mean,
we should.
We actually, no. We... We don't necessarily respect the Rothschilds, but we do definitely fear them. So,
good call. Good call.
That's all right.
Excellent. Well, was there anything else you wanted to add for tonight's episode?
That's it for me.
Cool. I think that's it for me, too. Well, thank you all for listening.
Bye.